Blog Talk Radio.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. Just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
Yo, yo, yo. We back up on the scene, know what I mean? Welcome back to another edition of Life Be Life and Podcast. I'm your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J. And Cash rules everything around me. And you know that.
The money.
Bro, what's happening, man? How you feeling today?
Man, I'm good. What about you today?
Man, I can't complain at all. Hey, you ready to do this thing, man, like my size 15?
Yeah, let's do this thing. I'm just not fitting in that bag.
Yeah, so basically, let's kick it off. So, life was what's good. Today is June 28th. It is another beautiful day. If you can get past all this alleged campfire smoke, wildfire smoke, man, whatever. We ain't going to talk about it too much. We don't want them feds knocking at our door. It ain't even 6 in the morning yet. So, look. So, bro, we've been talking the last few days, man, about this situation that's taking place out of Chicago where you had a young man in their 30s that had got into a physical altercation with a woman. We don't know the full story because we haven't seen all the video, but he starts to physically assault the woman. Next thing you know, the 14-year-old boy, who was her son, ends up trying to defend his mom, shoots and ultimately kills the young man.
Yeah.
So you hip to the story, like you. I know we kind of went over and everything, and you got a little more info today. Like, what's new so far that you learned just before we kind of take this turn on things?
All right, man. So I'm gonna back up just a little bit, just because like when it first happened, and I first seen the video, I was really taken back. Because here's this grown, you-know-what word man sitting here pounding a woman, you know what I'm saying, with a balled-up fist. So that kind of took me back. So just, you know, over the last day or so, kind of seeing some new information. So they should know. I'm like, man, you know, so everything is still plausible. So I want to let people know this. As we discuss the situation, telling the alleged facts, but we will give some input because it is part of a bigger picture and part of a bigger
situation
that's going on, you know, in our community.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
man,
sure.
Now you go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really curious just to really know a lot of our lifers info. So eventually we'll go to the call lines and things like that. But what really kind of struck me with this one, and it really piggybacks on things that we've already covered, ironically, and this is really to let people know, our lifers out there, this is why these topics are so important and so needed to be talked about all over in everybody's homes, but especially in our community. Here you have this man that is punching. I'm talking about he is swinging for the fences like he's in a boxing ring, right? In a store. And so how the story, what I learned today, is structured because we get one perspective of this video, and apparently this is supposed to be this dude's girlfriend or whatever. And so the narrative becomes, as the topic for tonight, I can do bad by myself. We have to start to look at different situations, people around us, and just really know, are they good for us? Are they meant for us? Because ideally, instead of having this phone out, there's other things that could have taken place that kind of could have eliminated this whole situation. But, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but you have this young lady in her early 40s. Her son is in there. They're trying to get dinner for the evening, and the video picks up, and here we are with this particular argument. So how lifers do we get to a point to where a grown man is comfortable just having a verbal encounter like this with a woman, let alone a physical?
Yeah.
So what do you think has led to that, bro? What do you think is contributing today to these dudes being more comfortable and almost it's accepted, tolerated, and encouraged to assault women?
So, bro, probably 2-3 months ago, TJ, I had just left his baseball game with him. And we, you know, was driving home. It was a nice little trip. And I'm like, man, you know, we're not cooking. Wife was, you know, had some other things going on. I'm like, hey, we just go stop and grab some Popeyes real quick, right? So we go to the Popeyes right there on Airport Road. It was right off the highway. So myself and the young lady, looks like could be her daughter and a child.
Okay.
The young lady is ordering her food, and then in the middle, she's like, oh, man, I forgot my coupon. And, you know, so the first thing I spoke up, I was like, well, ma'am, yeah, go ahead, you know, it's just me and you. Go ahead and get your coupon. I'll wait right here. Nah, go ahead. Okay, boom. So we get up, we order, and we didn't order nothing magnificent. We ordered, like, a couple of those, like, four of those $5 boxes, big boxes, and, you know, a couple other things. So I guess the cashier was taking longer than expected, you know, to ring us up, so the lady comes back in. So you know how you can just feel somebody staring you down, but then she starts, I sure wish, you know, and I'm like, okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So once I finish, you know, ordering, I step to the side, lady placed her order, and you could tell it was bad vibes because of the way that she was just speaking. The cashier was pleasant. The lady, you know what I'm saying, hot dog and that chicken been up there and this, that, and the other. So she places her order. She goes to sit. I'm standing up, myself and TJ, by the soda machine. So we get ready to get our order. And, you know, the lady's handing us our food. So we had ordered a cup of water because, you know, he had been playing baseball. So I was like, ma'am, can I grab that cup of water? You know, that we ordered. She was like, yeah, sure, sir. Here goes the lady. She's standing at the counter, and she huffing, she puffing. It got to the point where I turned my back on her. I put TJ behind her and turned my back on her because I'm like, number one, it's not even worth it. Number two, it's a woman. Now, I have my wife been there, but that's another show, another situation. And so just based on that outcome alone, man, it takes discipline. And the thing that we have lost nowadays, you look in the news, man, are women, are young women, you know, that have a full life ahead of them. They are being taken out like crazy. And not to open any, you know what I'm saying, wounds, you even go back to the shooting that was here at our high school. It was two women. It was a teacher and a young lady, 16 years old, that lost her life. If you go back to last year, there was a string of young women just being killed and murdered. Now, yes, we don't know the backstory, but I'm still saying at the end of the day, I have three daughters, man.
Right.
That could have been my child. So now we come back to the situation of home training. And, you know, when we are young, we're taught, I hit you, you better hit them back. But as you mature and you understand your place, your stature, you know, respect, you start to gravitate away from some of those things. Because if, you know, depends on who hits you. Like if a child hit me, I'm going to, you know, go hit a baby back. No, you know what I'm saying? It's got to be within reason. But as we have lost the protection of our young black women here in America, media portrays them, and y'all, I may get a little grimy, so mama, I'm going to keep it clean, but the media is portraying our women as hussies and tramps, and, you know, out for the dollar, they go dance how they want to dance, they go do what they want to do, they go cheat on a man, and, you know, still be in a relationship. They want to go 50-50, but don't want, you know what I'm saying, the wifely duties. there's a lot, you know what I'm saying, to the portrayal mm-hmm. of black women right now, especially the young black woman. So it's ever more so important right now that as fathers, number one, if you're raising young black women, man, you have to love them accordingly. You have to teach them accordingly. Even as black mothers, you got to show your young black woman, you know, how to move in these streets, because these streets are unforgiving. The next thing, it's crowd cojones. And the thing with crowd cojones is, and I've been a part of crowd cojones before when I was young and dumb, to where the situation is not even that deep, to where your friends, the crew, get the ooh. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they got a battery in your back. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then now you go do something stupid. But the thing about it is, cojones, have you do something that's somewhat out of character for you or taking things too far, but then when consequences come, you're the only one left to pay the price.
Absolutely.
And we've gotten in that mode, man, of, you know, worrying about myself. I'm worried about myself. Now, don't take me wrong. I know, you know, the nickname for Chicago is Chirac.
Mm-hmm.
And like you stated at the beginning of the show, we don't know the full story, but I've seen men, I've seen elders. So number one, that's telling me that these young men out here have totally lost the respect of their elders. They have no respect for them. But I remember back in the day, man, like, you know, on the block, we walking through the loop, and, you know, back then, your pants cocked to the, I mean, your hat cocked to the side, your pants to the back, your hat to the back.
Mm-hmm.
When crisscross, we had our pants to the back, but I stand corrected. Or, you know, you sagging, you cussing, you walking with that bebop in your step, and when you came across someone older, you straightened yourself up. That is no longer existing. So with the respect of the elders not being existent, that loses the village. So when the village is lost, so are the people. So now we're in this free-for-all, man. People rather raise their cameras before they raise their voice to a situation. And yes, indeed, we don't know if he was disrespected beforehand, that his lady was egging him on to punch this woman. It baffles me, man, and you see it all the time. The crowd cojones.
I actually seen it at a different point, bro, and it was a conversation that I had with a family member at that time some years back. And so my nephew, you know, he's a young guy at the time, and he was having some little issues at school or whatever. The reality was, and we all knew it, that this girl was picking on him because she thought he was cute. You know, we talking, he's maybe second, third grade. And so I'm in the cut just listening to the whole, you know, little layout, and his mom begins to tell him, because he's basically saying, yo, she's at school hitting on me. You know, these is just love taps, but the kid is conveying it like it's something totally different. Her response to him was, I don't care who it is, they put their hands on you, you better hit them back. And she, you know, slides out the room. So this is the information that this young boy has received from his single mama, who's trying to be both man and woman in her house, the mom and the dad. And she's given some advice that is going to just mess his life up. It's the most damnable type of information. So she slides off, and I'm like, hey, don't listen to that. I was like, it's always a man that's going to speak up on a woman's behalf, and you ain't going to be ready for that. Okay, so then, we fast forward to scenarios to where we're looking at. So here are a lot of single moms, and we talk about just the removal of men out of the household. So single moms, for whatever reason, they're trying to raise these young boys, and because of the hurt that they've experienced that probably has them in a single mom atmosphere. And it could be maybe everything was on the up and up, but the daddy passed away. Whether it was tragically or naturally, don't matter. He's gone. She's hurt. It could be that he's sitting in the system, so she's hurt. He could have said, bump you and that kid. I don't even think he mind no way. She mad about that. But for whatever reason, she's upset. The love that she has for this child, the love that she has for the child has her in a situation to where she's going to do whatever it takes to protect him. The problem with that is the things that she'll do ultimately are a hindrance to him or a daughter versus the opposite that is being put out all over the country. And now that this young man is deceased, and yes, we can say his actions is what led him to there. But then I start to hear what his mom and his family are saying. And a life loss is always going to be sad or tragic, okay? But accountability versus excuses. And so when you begin to put pictures up of your child who is a grown man that from what we're now learning has two small daughters of his own, which means he had a child's mom. He got a baby mama or a wife, whatever that relationship was like, that produced two daughters. He clearly has a mama. And all she wanted to say was how good her son was. I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. It's nothing but defending, not any type of accountability. I don't know what got into my son. I raised him better than this. There was none of that. So the fact that there was none of that tells me that there was none of that. The mama, the baby mama, she's saying the same things. She's posting on her page. Thick or thin, right or wrong, I'm right. Everybody's defending this action. So what you have happening, this is a prime example that if we could have took this videotape of life and went back 25 years ago when this dude is 8 years old or so, and he, you know, let's just say hypothetically runs into the convenience store, 7-Eleven, gas station, whatever it is, and he steals a bag of chips. The employee catches him and walks him back home to the corner house, knocks on the door. The mama answers the door. Now, when she opened the door, she sees this employee with his work gear on, got his hand on the back of her son's shirt. Soon as she opens the door, ma'am, is this your son? Yeah, what the F you got by your hands on my son for? Hey, ma'am, I caught him stealing. I didn't want to call the cops. I wanted to bring him to you, had this conversation. Instead of her, and I've seen this with my own eyes, instead of her turning to her child and giving course of correction, instead of her thanking that worker for coming to me because it takes a village, thank you, I'm going to deal with it, turn to him and apologize. You better not ever in your life, because that's what it would have went for me. Okay, she ain't do none of that. What she did was pulled her child in. I don't care what he did. You come talk to me. And so what you did was now he feels justified. Don't matter what I do, somebody's going to defend me. Even up into this decision, and now it leads to his death. So there was I came across this video by this doctor. She does a lot of social trauma experiences. Her name is Joy DeGruy Leary, and she's a Black and Caribbean woman who's been in this game for like over 20 years. And so she talks about PTSD, but it's not what we know the initials for. It is post-traumatic slave disorder. And so when I heard that, it kind of caught my attention, but I wasn't expecting it to be what it is. And what we'll do, lifers, is we're going to take this video and we're going to upload it onto our page, also the website, so you'll be able to, you know, hear it for yourself. But what she talks about is that our trauma is taught. and goes on to say, so let's go back to the slavery days, and everybody wants to say, get over slavery, that was hundreds of years ago. I got it. We all know it was hundreds of years ago. The problem is it's still impacting us today. You have communities that will not let the Holocaust go down. They're going to continuously speak about it in remembrance and in celebration. We celebrate 9/11 every year with no type of thought about it. 9/11 is something you'll see it on social media, so on and so forth. And I'm not the smartest person, but I think mathematically there's no way the math and the consequences and the actions of 9/11 equated to slavery. Nobody was raped. You know what I'm saying? Nobody got raped. That was more traumatic. We're talking about American events such as like Katrina, where people were getting raped, where you have prisoners escaping, but nobody was raped. Families weren't divided. You didn't have a husband who had to see his wife get molested. You didn't see a family have to figure out or plead to somebody, please don't split my kids up and send one way off. You didn't have any of that, but we're told to let it go. So she's dealing with a lot of this. So that stress and that trauma that I just said from those brief scenarios, right? So when they go on and now they're on a new plantation and they have a new family, if I'm the husband, how do you think I now protect this now wife and try to do everything with the breath in me to prevent what happened before, right? So then how will my kids raise? Don't go there. Don't go here. This is the main reason. If y'all really want to trip, everybody in my age bracket says our parents didn't teach us about credit. Our parents didn't teach us about credit. It's their fault. It ain't their fault. Credit don't mean jack to a dead boy at 16. We ain't worried about credit. We're worried about you living. We got to teach you how to navigate through society, around, you know what I'm saying, the police system, employment. You know, hey, don't name your kid that. It's going to be rougher on them. Ain't nobody telling other ethnicities about tattoos. You're going to ruin your life. They're going to judge you. So there was trauma that was passed along. Okay? So, again, a parent that has trauma, there was no psychiatrist in free sessions. When slavery was ended, we just talked about celebrating Juneteenth. So when they pulled up in Galveston and everything was finally announced and the other 250,000 slaves were that announcement, hey, y'all put them down, y'all good. Nobody said, and oh, by the way, if you want to get on this boat with me, we about to go so y'all can get some free treatment. The only thing free that we had ever been kicked to was lies about free health care, and we was getting injected, you know, with different forms of diseases, syphilis, Tuskegee experiments, so on and so forth. So a lot of trauma in our community, and we talked about that. Mental health was, man, we've been blessed. We have this going on, do we say, what, 2.5 months, bro, somewhere around there? Something like that? It was like two and a half months. So we've been fortunate enough to have a conversation like mental health, but we've never been able to deal with it holistically, on a social level, on a spiritual level. And so this is where we're seeing these particular things come about. So what we're going to do, folks, we're about halfway through this thing. We're going to kick a little music, go to a little break, pay a few bills. As always, this episode is brought to you by Lit Creations. Anything you want, because every day is lit, so whether you need the latest hairstyles, whether you need your house smelling good or you need them oils, jump on Facebook, go to the Lit Creations LLC page. You're going to see her. Hit her inbox. Tell her D to the J said to lace you up, get your wigs right, your edges, all that. She got you. Feel like bumping freezes and perms, she probably can do that too. I don't know, but I'm sure she can. Our other sponsor is, as always, I'm sorry, it is ConnectMe, helping to bridge that gap between you and your clients, extending your reach. So give us a few minutes, folks. We're going to be back. We're going to be back.
just like a bird. I just want to fly free. And I own a piece of land. Somewhere, off in a country. Listen. Temperatures like 100 degrees. Like I got chains for me. Black male in the family of three. Been proud of my destiny. Reckon I'll fly away. Cause it's too much for the man. Shouldn't have gone down this way. What happened to my master plan? Cause I can't figure out. I could have been a love child. Shouldn't have gone down this way. Tell me, how did I get lost?
Charles, we back, man. Had to pay a couple of bills. So, man, just listen to Darian, man, D, make all those important points. And it's crazy to just how we have been desensitized, you know, as a race, as a people, and as a community. Don't you agree?
I very much agree. Very much agree.
And now the other part of this equation that we are missing is the young man. The young man who came up to defend the honor of his mom.
Right.
If we don't understand that young man, he at 14 years old, I have a son who's 14. And to have to go through something so traumatic, you know what I'm saying? We talked a few weeks ago about how our brains are not fully developed until we're like 25. So now here he is, has taken someone's life, and I can't even fathom. I really just cannot fathom that, just for the simple fact. Just trying to put myself in his mindset. My mom did text me. And whatever the text or whatever, however it happened, and for him to enter this establishment, and we have to look at, like, as he's entering this establishment, seeing all of these people run out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now, with every emotions and feelings that he had, they just been amplified by 2,000. Because as you put two and two together, okay, my mom called me, texted me, or whatever, and now as I'm coming in, I see all these people coming out. What is this man doing to my mama?
See, from the angles, bro, I think he was already in that joint. Because where the camera come from, that was the door. You know what I'm saying? So it was a one entrance joint. So dude was already in there kind of like, you know, inside these little, like, Miami Grill type of joints, you got the seating up against the wall, so I think he's tucked over there. You know what I'm saying? The victim who died, his girlfriend, lady, whatever that relationship was, apparently she's the one recording it, so she's to this door. You know what I'm saying? So dude is in there like, you seen your mom take, we know, at least 2 shots to the face. And this was a good kid, bro. Did you hear all the accolades that this young man has acquired already? Scholastic, like, at 14. His education is something that they really, you know, focus on.
Right.
It's mind-blowing. So did you see there was another man? Because there was other men of the same ethnicity, and really that shouldn't even matter. But if we're going to talk about protecting women and this, that, and the third, that was standing right there. What would you have liked to see that? And when I'm saying older, if I had to guesstimate, maybe what, middle 60s, early to middle 60s, something like that. What would you have liked to see happen in that situation? If I had to kind of go back, if I could hit that rewind button, man, I would have really loved to see that man step up and have that "it takes a village" mindset and just have separated them. Hey, everybody chill out, you know,
yeah, chill out.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, if you were in that situation, or if that was your people, that older gentleman, like, would you feel a way that there was no, nothing? Like, what you thinking?
I mean, once that thing got heightened, and the way that I'm looking at it is, once he said, you know, saying, "Oh, my mama or grandma," whatever he said, you know, "say one more word and I'm going to knock you out." Even before it got to that point, you know what I'm saying, there could have been a guy that said, "You know what, Miss Lady, tell you what, whatever your ticket number is, give me your ticket, and you can go ahead and slide to your car.
Yeah,
I will bring your stuff out to your car." And you know what, bro, like, the other part, the background. Did you notice the background?
Well, so the sheer fact that we think alike, if you ask me about the background, are you referring specifically to the workers?
Indeed.
Or were you, I did. And it was almost ain't got nothing to do with it. We got our $15.99 for this shrimp platter. But the damage,
yeah,
in
man.
Effect.
I feel like that was bogus as well, because nobody, like, budged, or, you know, from what we've seen from the angle, they just kept doing their thing. Like, you know, so to me, now, I may be looking too deep, and, you know, we'll be hitting the phone lines in a little bit, but to me, that made me feel like that y'all don't care about our people, and y'all don't care about our community. But, yes, that could be another show, but I'm telling how I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so with that being said, you know, with no one batting an eye, nobody even came to the window to see what's going on. So that's either telling me that this is a normal occurrence.
Yep.
Or just nobody cared, man. And it's a sad thing to be out here with your mama and feel like that you got to be her protector, her king. You know what I'm saying? Because women
right. Put
those titles on these young men, and so. And just to see the community that you live in, and nobody came to the aid of me and my mama?
Yep.
Like, where does that take him? And so now it goes back, man, because as this young man's, you know, mother is saying good things, his daughters, his kids' mom. And y'all, again, we're not trying to badmouth. We're not trying to, you know what I'm saying, insinuate. We're just telling it like we see it, because somebody has to talk about this.
Yeah.
And so now, as you said earlier, man, you got to go back and look, like, okay,
what was that dynamic like with y'all growing up? You know what I'm saying? Did you just let him do what he wanted to do? Was there consequences? Because now at this point in time in his life, that young man has served or has received the ultimate consequence. He lost his life. And, yes, we can sit here and squabble over and talk about it and go back and forth and debate the issues. At the end of the day, man, another one of our black women were assaulted and another young black man has lost his life. And at some point in time, we have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired, but understand once again that it starts in our own homes. Like, okay, y'all, I'm gonna be really open right now. So, in my home, I'm a avid gun owner, and being a gun owner doesn't mean that I'm just going to walk around with my chest stuck out and, you know, I'm big and bad, because they didn't stop making them when I purchased mine.
Right.
But if I get into a situation to where it's home or my life, you know, and you're trying to keep me from coming home or going home to be back with my wife or my kids, then that's when we have a situation at hand. In my home, I don't have gun locks. I mean, I have them, but I don't have, like, a gun safe. Because as myself and my wife, you know, we go out of town with y'all, we hang out, you know, we come kick it. What good is a firearm in the house that a child cannot get to and that is scared to use? Now, on top of that, and people may disagree, I take my daughters to the gun range. They know how to shoot. They understand the consequences. But okay, let's go a step further. Because I've had to talk with my son, especially during school, and I'm going to always have the conversation with him because he has that access to firearms. So, you know, that prevention starts with conversations.
Yeah.
But let's just say one day I am not at home. My daughter, Pooh, she's, you know, at work or school or, you know, she's just not at home. My son just happens to be in our dining room, which is right by our front door, and he hears his mama screaming, "Help, help, help." What do you think my son is going to do? My son is going to go to where he knows the nearest firearm is, and he's coming out the house to eliminate the threat.
Mm-hmm.
So people, that's where we have to start understanding, because we don't know if there's a father, you know, around. We don't know if there's a father in his life. So to him, you know, we don't know if he has siblings. So quite possibly to that young man, it's only him and his mama. And the messed up thing about this, bro, the community just reinforced.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody rallied around this young man. Because yes, he was able to access the firearm. Don't know if the mom's purse was beside him in a chair. We don't know how he got his hands on it, but this should have been an action that never took place. And so what we have to do is there's a lot of things that can take place before it gets to this point. I'll start with from the woman side of things. And so as the topic says, I can do bad by myself. The movie, I can do bad all by myself, right? So what does that mean exactly? That breaks down to say, look, I'm capable of making stupid decisions on my own. In my 44 years of walking this life, I have literally done some things in my early days to where when it went all bad, inside my head I said, well, DJ, you've done it this time. You ain't going home today. And that's happened more than once. Luckily, God and some praying folks, you know, was able to make sure that didn't take place, but I say that to say, you know, there's things that we do on our own that contribute to our own demise. I don't need nobody on the sidelines that's pushing me towards the danger. I need folks in my corner that's trying to steer and guide me away from it. You know what I'm saying? Our lives are like an arrow, man. I need folks that's going to help if I'm off track of the target, that can pull my shoulder, straighten me up a little bit so I can get to where I need to go. So whoever this young lady was, if indeed it was the girlfriend that was video recording him, should have been the one, instead of recording and saying, you know, whatever his name was, yo, let's go. Or like you suggested, baby, I'll get this weight in the car. Or if it was really something that was funky like that, the same way your wife would, the same way my wife would, that's a conversation between the women. Just like I'm not going to be recording while my wife is going back and forth with some dude. I'm going to step up. I'm going to put her behind me, and I'm going to address it. And if that was the situation, then the two women, I'm sure, could have squared up, fought if it was really that serious, but everybody would have went home with their food, maybe a black eye, but you would have been straight the next day. So the people that you got around you, right? And then from the man perspective, it's having enough sense to say, you know what, this situation is not beneficial for me at all. There's nothing positive about this. I've been in these situations. I've literally been somewhere and had in my 30s, had a cat that was in their early 50s running off at the mouth, and I wanted to smack all the hellfire out of them. But I had to ask myself, you know what I'm saying? This is facts. But I had to ask myself, so if I put my hands on this dude, how do I win? Because if I stomp him out, I lose because, B, you beat up old dude. You know what I'm saying? If I don't stomp him out good and can't drop him, then I lose because it's like, well, you couldn't even knock out that old man. And God forbid if the old man had any type of training or whatever, and he get the best of you. So there's no way I can win this situation. Why would I want to engage in something that I have no chance of winning? You know what I'm saying? It's like if you play a video game and you keep dying at level 7, and you know it'll give you that, do you want to continue? And it'll count down from 10. You can hit yes and pick right back up from where you left off.
Yep.
When have you ever said, nah, you know what, I don't want to continue here, I'm going to start way over from scratch? Why would you start from scratch? There's nothing that you can benefit because you've already got past it. So the only reward you can have to die in this game. So translate that to real life. Why would I put myself in a situation where I have to start from scratch, where there's absolutely no gain or reward for me other than a loss or death? I need to hit continue. You feel me? Like there's nothing beneficial from this. So you mentioned the young man. We talked about the whole trauma. This was a good kid, great education. I actually just seen today, I don't know at what particular point in time, but we know yesterday, all because they have been arrested and they have been charged. Even though we know it's self-defense, in all honesty, that's the right steps of the law. You have to go down for questioning. You have to get the due processing. And then they did exactly. They dropped all charges against this mama, who I believe was 44 maybe. If I'm wrong, my bad. I think she's 44. And then the son, 14. Seen today where they were reunited. And the tears that this mother had, because I think now the reality is, yeah, he defended me, but what's this going to look like?
Yeah, how do I defend him?
Exactly. And now, you know, like you talked about, so if you get into it with somebody, yeah, you got guns, but you're not going to be quick to up it unless the situation looks like it's life or death. The problem is because now you have a kid like this who has this level of trauma, and he doesn't understand the in-between 0 to 10, and that's why you have these young dudes that at the first point of a situation, they're going to up that pistol.
Yeah.
Because I know if you pull it out on me, it is my life. And I got this gun to make certain that I can get home to the crib. So I'm about to it just escalates something beforehand. So if we can rewind and go all the way back, lifers, to April, we talked about a few of these situations in the appropriate way. We got to start addressing correct conflict resolution. How do you appropriately deal with a conflict? You know, stop pulling your kids out of situations. Stop coddling them. If they fall and scratch themselves, if they bleed, understand they bleed. It might hurt. Let them endure that. Let them learn how to adjust from that. Let them learn, oh, I can't go in there and run to mommy or daddy. I got to limp it out a little bit. You got to. I tell the story all the time to my boys. I must have been maybe like 12 going on 13 because my birthday's in May. I was in, let's say, seventh grade, but I was really the age of sixth graders. So I'm in seventh grade. I'm at the park. The football coach then told us at the beginning of the season, don't be out there playing recreational football. But what am I doing out there in the hood, doing what we do, playing football? Next thing I know, it feels like my ankle is broke. When I say I'm a nice distance from the crib, the park is a nice ways, and it's uphill. Can't walk. My ankle is already the size of a goose egg. Ain't no cell phones. I got to get home. I walk through the house. My mama tell you, I wasn't crying. It wasn't none of that. She seen my she seen my ankle. She was like, yeah, going in there and wash your feet so we can get out here to this hospital. Get on in there, watch them funky 8 feet. Hey, you might be hurt, but ain't no point you hurting us. Watch them feet. Let's get on to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? And I'm at school the next day. It's just some stuff you just got to let kids go through. Just support them. Tell them you love them. But this trauma, man, like what do you – I know you're a firm advocate about things of that sort. So this 14-year-old kid, man, that has now had to come to the defense of his mama as if he were the husband or the man in this situation, even though there was other men around, even though there's men, like you highlighted the workers there. The workers didn't do nothing. So that right there, this would tell us, and this is why y'all, you know, we talked about the sponsors and we talked about how powerful ConnectMe is. I want y'all to understand that ConnectMe is a company that will really put y'all in the mindset of why it's important to know where your dollar is and where it's going. Because in certain communities such as ours, this dollar that we have, it leaves out of our community in a matter of hours. In other communities, their dollars are several days, right? So here we are in this particular building buying food that I don't know if you've ever seen it. First off, they're trying to kill you. They're going to run your blood pressure through the roof because this lemon pepper that they're shaking on is absolute retarded, okay? Yep. So they're giving you food that ain't no good for you. I get it. Boom. So we in there. We're nothing but a dollar because nobody is saying, hey, not in my store. Hey, take that outside. Man, nobody did nothing. Everybody's business as usual. So are they hip to these type of altercations? And it's so common, it's like, eh? Or is it a matter of
day in Chirac?
Care? Exactly. Another day. Another day in Chirac. Did anybody ever consider, or will it even matter to the community that, hey, I know somebody lost their life in there, matter of fact, right there. But guess what? I get paid Friday. Guess who finna get this 10-piece wings? Do you really care?
Yeah, that's the thing.
So what, like this? Not to kind of shift gears from the community aspect. How can the community rally around a situation where this was allowed to happen, and then how did they rally around and support? Yo, we allowed it to happen. What do we do?
So it's kind of difficult, man, because, you know, like, depending on what kind of background that they are from, because I think a lot of that takes precedence on how you're going to act or react in a situation. And before I go there real quick, another point that I've missed was the woman herself, not the mama, but the girlfriend. See,
yep.
Man, oh, oh, my God. So I can do bad by myself, man, as you said earlier. I can make my own bad choices. I can get my own self put in jail. I can get my own self shot, beat up, or whatever the case may be. I can get my own self fired. I don't need
yep.
no help.
None.
But
I can do a lot better job of it than you can do for me.
Facts. So now, as a woman, as a black woman in America, knowing that your community is losing black people, whether it's black men, black women, black children, at an astonishing rate, why? I mean, yo, like, come on, man. Let's really step outside of ourselves and look at this. What type of woman, if this is really what happened, let me say that, what type of woman would be on the sidelines and egg her man on to hit another woman? I'm baffled, yo.
I got an answer for that. The same thing that I seen. The type that says and was raised, I don't care who hits you or runs their mouth, you better hit them back. That kind of
thing. Yeah. There you go. So as a community, man, we have to become more self-aware of what's going on. I take, for instance, like these Kia boys that's running around carjacking people, stealing people's cars or whatnot. They got somewhere that they're laying their head at night, and somebody is allowing them to. I would never want to see my son in trouble. I would never want to see my son go out here and carjack and be in a situation that could put his life, our life, and our livelihood at risk. But I'm gonna stand here, head up, chest out, and say, if I ever saw his picture on the news. I saw his picture on the newspaper of him holding a gun that I know that does not belong to us, and he committed a crime. Man, some people may not like it, but my son is going to have to face that music.
Yep.
And it's for accountability, man. And no, I would never, y'all understand me, never want that to happen to my son. But at a certain point in time in life, man, if you know you've taught your child better, you've had those conversations, they have to stand up for their actions and their reactions. And I'm going to say this final point, and we're going to hit the phone lines, man. Women, your man, your black man, or whatever man that you're with, is a commodity out here. If he's out here working, making things happen, whether y'all going 50-50 or 100-100, whatever the case may be, if you're happy with him, you should do your duty to protect him. And when I say protect him, I'm not saying literally jump in front of him for a bullet, but you have to fill that man's thoughts and mind with peace and love. Man,
they can still jump in front of that bullet, bro. Not to throw you off track. They can jump in because I'm a praying man. And I feel like I can get that prayer to the kingdom. You feel me? So if you take that bullet, you know what I'm saying? I know where to take you to. Like, I know where to take you to the altar to get prayer. But, yeah, you right.
See? And lastly, men. Our women is one of the most precious resources that we have. They are the giver of life. They birth out our children, our seeds. And if we continue to lose them at this rate that we're losing them, along with all of the other stuff that's going on, we're fighting a losing battle. So I'm going to hit this phone line real quick, man.
Yeah, hit the phone lines, bro, because like you said, it impressive.
Yep. So 1524, straight from the loo, you're live and you hot. What's going on?
Hey.
Hi, I just wanted to say that y'all are really doing a good job. I am really enjoying this podcast.
Hey, now. Thank you.
That's all.
We appreciate it. Any comments? Because I know that you have boys, and you're a boy mom, 100%. So what are your thoughts, you know, if you could sum them up for us?
I mean, I don't know. It's just, it is a difficult task raising all boys in different situations, but it's like situations like what had happened on the internet that you have to teach your kids at home first. You know, you can't just let them go out and learn from the streets and different things like that. So that's my goal with my children.
And y'all are doing a great job, sis. Facts.
Well, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, sis.
Thank you.
Love you. What caller doesn't want to be on? I just got a text. I don't know if Mama wants to come on. What do you think?
She probably just listening.
Okay. So that caller just dropped a great nugget, and I bet you it went over some of our heads because I almost missed it. I had to run and catch up with it.
Mm-hmm.
The internet. The mm-hmm. internet has fake consequences because we see a lot of these pranks. We see a lot of these YouTubers. We see a lot of stuff out there that is not real, and it's very important for us to make a difference. Like you said with that game, man, life is not, okay, I died, and now I could just, you know, either cut the game off or start over or ABBA, up, down, left, right, left, right.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not like that, man. And we have to groom our children, number one, with respect. They have to respect themselves. Respect yourself, no one else is going to get respect out of you. Once you learn to respect yourself, then you start learning how to respect others, whether it's their space, value their opinions, or whatever the case may be. But we got to nail that home. Our young women, look, if you in that type of relationship, which we talked about, I think we kicked off the podcast with Am I in a Toxic Relationship? I'm just so dumbfounded, man, Jess, with a lot of the things that we see that gives women feel like it gives them the right to walk up to. I seen a video, man, a young lady was locked up, and she's walking up to the police officers because I think she was stealing or something. They had her in the back, and she's walking up to grown men, cold cocking them in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And the men kept their composure. And one of the comments said, now, one of the men swung back, this comment thread would be 100% different.
Absolutely.
As we sum this up, y'all, we got to learn to love. We got to learn to love one another appropriately. A community means common unity between you and I. Because if we have some type of common unity that brings us together and we have a bond, we're all trying to live this life and run this race. And if we can't respect that, at least understand that the giver of life is God and so is the taker. And if we can't get into that mode of understanding that everyone wasn't raised like us, but it's okay to intervene. And you don't have to always intervene physically. Why would not, you know, when it finally kicked off? But you know what? I'm going to get off my soapbox, bro. I'm going to let you give your final thoughts as well.
Yeah, now, you know, shout out to you. I didn't know you still had bars. You was like community is the middle between common unit. I was like, okay, bro spin bars late at night. But this is really how this is how I feel about this particular situation. What I teach my sons, what I've taught my nephews that I've had any type of hand in raising, any godchildren, any young man that I've ever had a chance to speak some type of encouraging words to them is that every action has a consequence. And I'm teaching them that every single action, everything that you do has a consequence. Regardless of whether that consequence is fair or not, there's going to be a consequence, meaning maybe all you did was steal a pack of gum, okay? They done locked you up for 2 months. Is that fair? Absolutely not. But I'm not teaching you fair. I'm teaching you the game of actions versus consequence, because if I can get you to realize that, then something being fair or unfair really is irrelevant. You're going to make better decisions. So we got to start teaching our children to make better decisions. Mothers, single mothers especially, this is where you come into play. Mothers in general, because if you have a male role model in that child's life, be it their father, be it a stepfather or uncle, some type of pastor, I don't care what it is, any positive role model that's in their life. When that child does something other than what you've told them to do, whether it's disobedience, whether it's, you know, any type of just any violation that you know a kid shouldn't do, you have to get that male figure involved. Yeah, you can still whoop them or whatever your level of chastising is in the home, but you need to also pick up that phone and get them with their male mentor. So, one, they can be held accountable. And you know, we actually experienced that this weekend on a very light situation. But just because not only the accountability was held to TJ, and then a conversation was had, and then the love was shown, and the wives communicated, he came home and had a whole different action. And I know you was looking at the situation like, oh, let me get out here, and well, I'm going to have to tell him to do X, Y, Z, and he was already on it.
And, yeah, right.
And as men in our community, this is what we have to do a better job of doing, is speaking out of love. Speak with love, speak with intentions, guide and direct, and make sure they know consequences for their actions. The very last thing that I would say is we have to not only talk to our children, we have to talk to each other as peers, and we also have to talk to our elders in the community and the more seasoned folks. The reason for this, as you know, Dr. Joy Leary had stated with post-traumatic slave disorder, and again, I know that the whole slave mentality seems so far-fetched because we're talking about 500 some odd years out. I get it, but it is passed down, it is taught. I don't know any person of color, first off, I don't know any person walking this earth that, whether you want to accept it or not, has not been taught trauma. But every person of color has been taught trauma. The reason why we do certain things. I'll give you a real clear-cut example. I could not, growing up, it was instilled upon me, and at this time, I think I was a teenager before I even knew why, because I was like, God dang, why? As a kid, I could not, and it was unacceptable, to fall asleep with the TV on. Now, you would automatically assume that this was to help regulate electricity and keep money in the pockets, because you live in, you know, in an area to where it's not upper class, you know, it's lower to middle class. So you would be thinking that it's a way to help regulate funds. What I found out by the time I hit my teenage years, and mind you, I had other type of trauma, spiritual trauma, because I was seeing things in the middle of the night that was causing me to have to ride. I was staying up till the sun came up on more than one instance because I was so fearful of it in the middle of the night that I seen that was not of this world. This is facts. But I finally asked my dad why. And he told me a story about well before I was born, when it was my older siblings and all them in the house, and apparently the TV had caught fire. And I don't really remember who woke up, how they, but it was this fire. So I was taught a traumatic experience and never was told the why, but it became a life lesson for me that I, in turn, teach down. And again, there's different various scenarios, and I can keep going and expanding, but I'm just giving you a scenario how that there's trauma that we teach to our children, and we don't even know it, neither do they know they're receiving it, but they're going to reciprocate it. So we have to start talking. We got to talk to each other, talk to seasoned people, talk to counselors, but we have to start working through these actual problems, bro. So with that, man, I digress. This is definitely something that we can keep going and going and going, but I don't want to keep holding your time up, Tony, because I'm going to be honest, bro. I can do bad all by myself.
Thanks, bro. So, programming note. So, next week, the topic is going to be 50-50. And if you want to know what it's about, you're going to have to tune in. After next week, Life Be License Podcast is going to go on a three-week hiatus. That way we can kind of brainstorm behind the scenes, get some new content, get some fillers in, you know, some new music, new sponsors. So we'll reconvene, I think, what was that, like August 3rd, was it, bro? August 5th, something like that.
I believe that, yeah, that was. That was August 3rd, which is that first Wednesday in August.
Yeah, that first Wednesday in August. So we just wanted to put up a programming note. We will put some episodes up during those 3 weeks while we kind of reconvene. But, yo, always know that life be lifing, and we always going to be here to talk about it. I'm your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J. Signing off once again. We thank y'all. God bless. Good night.
Fine.